A Sunday school class this morning, I showed Rick my sermon. He said, "Man, I hope those lines mean something." Wow. The reason why it's so spread out so long is because I'm looking at three different passages in the scripture to try to bring out the whole picture of something that took place. This was coming close to the end of Christ's life. He was actually on his way back to Jerusalem. We're going to be heading that way soon. And went to Bethany. And of course, it was the place where Martha and Mary and Lazarus were. And if you want to open up your scriptures, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. At least we'll be partly there. We'll start there, anyhow. And look at all of it, because, you know, it's amazing. When you read the Scriptures, and especially the four Gospels, if you find something there, I want to encourage you to look in the other three Gospels to see if there's more to it. Because sometimes each one of the writers writes from their perspective about something. And then you'll turn to another one, and he will give you maybe even more detail. And in the Gospel of John, he named names. The rest of them didn't always name names, but John did in this time. By the way, if you want to see them all together, one of the things that you really need to have at home is a harmony of the Gospels. Harmony of the Gospels takes all four of the Gospels, and where the stories are time-wise, they line them up in one column so you can look at them all together. And trust me, you need that sometimes to find out exactly what's going on. But you can order those, get those. They're called a harmony of the Gospels. All right. I made my own harmony. All right, we're going to start in John chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Huh? Oh, okay. I thought I did something wrong. Wow. It's good to know I didn't. All right, that's a good thing. Not yet. Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. Now, by the way, please, when you see that word pound, don't get too excited. They measure just like what we have today. When you go to buy a pound of coffee and it's 10 ounces. And yet they charge you more than when they used to put it into a real pound. The pound here is probably a Roman pound, and it came out to 11 and a half ounces. So they count just like we do here in America when they're selling something. However, you have to realize that this was so, so very expensive. It was worth 300 denarii. The average daily wage that a person could earn was 1 denarii. So it was equal to a year's wages. Now think about that for a minute. Now, that doesn't measure much to us, but let's just take the average of guys today and say that we made $40,000 a year before taxes. Can you imagine presenting Jesus with something that you just took $40,000 out of the bank and bought it for him? Most of us would be going, "I don't have $40,000 in the bank." But yet, that's what it was in comparison. I want you to understand a little bit about what she was doing. Now, probably she bought this for her own burial somewhere along the line. She had saved and saved and saved and went out and with a year's worth of salary. And by the way, it probably cost more than that, because what you don't see in the Gospel of John, that it was in a very expensive container. An alabaster container that would hold 11 and a half ounces. Alabaster was very expensive, so even the container at that time would have cost a lot. The oil itself was 300 denarii, so what was the container that it came in? You know they didn't throw it in for free. You ever notice that? today you buy something and they don't have the cord with it. If you go to Lowe's and Home Depot and buy you a single drill, if you ain't careful, they won't have the battery pack in it, and it won't have the charger for the battery pack, because you'll have to buy that separate, and it costs more than the drill cost. Just telling you that we took a page out of the Bible, didn't we, back in those days? Guys, let's go on a little bit farther. I want you to see a little bit more of what's going on. Then Mary took a pound of the very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped it with her feet, with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. Have you ever went on a mission trip and been in a van with a carload full of kids or youth? My goodness, you know, those youth will eat pickled eggs just so it'll smell worse. Add to that BO. That's really bad odor. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you, you would think with adults it'd be different. But I took a mission trip to New York. And there was an adult person in that van. I thought we were going to have to stop and buy gas masks. And you know, the bad thing about kids and adults, or kids and youth, they'll own up to it. You'll look back there and somebody will be going. Adults ain't like that. You'll be going. You'll look back there and be going. Yeah, we survived all the way to New York too, didn't we, Curtis? Curtis was on that van with me. And Curtis is bad enough, okay? But it wasn't him. The title of my message is, How Much of a Stink Do We Make? How much of a stink do we make? Now, guys, I got to tell you, this is such an interesting story, because you have 12 guys that have followed the Lord for 3.5 years. It's coming to the close of that being taught by Jesus. And these are the guys, in just a few days, He is going to turn over the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. They're going to be the guys that start the church. I'm afraid they wouldn't graduate very good, especially when you look at it in light of the story. This is all Jesus heading to the passion. He's about to lay down His life for us and our sin. And He's trained these guys, and these guys are fixing to take over. All right, let's go on a little bit farther and see what it shares with us there. But one of the disciples, named Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray. By the way, John doesn't mind mentioning names and why. Now, if you just stopped right here, we'd think Simon was the only one involved. But if you look at the other two Gospels found in the Gospel of Luke, that's chapter 4, or no, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, you find out it wasn't just Judas. Judas was just the speaker, so to speak. All of them felt that way. When they looked over and saw what this young lady was doing, I thought they were going to have a cow. I'm serious. It says they were indignant. All of them. Why? They had the audacity to say, why is she wasting this? These are the 12 guys going to be taking over. Why is she wasting this? Man, at $40,000 in our perspective, she had involved in all of this. And it was just a one-time thing. Put it on, it's gone. Like buying a $40,000 bullet, you get one shot with it. Which, bad if you gave it to me, I'd miss. I mean, this was just going to be a one-time shot. See, she was probably saving this for her own burial. You thought burial costs were bad today. Now, you can rack up that much if you want to. I'm asking my wife not to do that. I don't care if she just puts me in a hole in the back 40. I'm going to glory anyhow. And whenever he races me up, I don't care if it's on the North 40 or the best graveyard around. It doesn't matter if it costs you everything or free. It's still a graveyard. I don't care. Put me on the mantle. God knows where I'm at. He'll put it all back together. That's all it takes. I don't care. Don't spend a lot of money, honey. Pine box. I'll build it for you if you want me to. I do better work than they do anyhow, all right? So we'll get it together. Brother, can I borrow some of those crate things from your job? And I'll get it done good. It'll look like old wood that way. Like I've been planning all along. They were upset and said, listen, we could have took this ointment and we could have sold it and we could have gave to the poor. Now, guys, think about it for a minute. What if Mary would have took that oil, that expensive oil, she'd have sold it for the price for the 300 denarii plus maybe what she got from the alabaster that it was contained in. She could have took it and she could have fed a lot of people. Would that be a bad thing? Most of us would look at it and say, oh my goodness, I can't believe how wonderful the things that she has done with that money. What did Jesus say to her? Kind of an odd thing. He goes, the poor you got with you always, but not me. Now, before you start saying, wait a minute, I thought Jesus taught us to do good works, to help those who are less fortunate, the widows and the orphans. Yes, he does. And there's nothing wrong with that. But she chose something better. Hello? She chose something better. Well, Jesus said to them, guys, don't you know that what she has done is a good thing? That she has kept this for my death and burial. Well, now let me ask you something. Did Mary know that Jesus was going to die? Yep, I think she did. Did the disciples know? Absolutely not. They hadn't a clue. Jesus had told them many, many times he was going to die. Now, John's a little sharper than the rest of them, and John got it first when he was at the grave, remember? Peter ran in, John was just kind of sitting there looking, and he finally went in and goes, yeah. Finally it came to him. I think Mary got it before that. Well, we're going to look at that. We're going to go on for a minute. Then Jesus said, guys, I want you to know something. What this woman has done every time the gospel is preached around the world, she'll be recognized for it. Wow. That's pretty awesome. And by the way, we are recognizing her right now. 2,000 years later. Now, if I said Peter or John or James or one of those guys, everybody go, yeah, we know them. Mary, you knew the name of. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, guys, no matter what you accomplish through the years, she's going to be noted for this every time the gospel's preached. You didn't get it. She did. All right, now I'm going to read you a really mess. I have tried to put together the three different Gospels together so we could kind of see it all, because you don't get it all from John. It's only a part of it. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead and whom was raised from the dead. There they made him a supper in the house of Simon the leper. Now, by the way, that would tell you there's something wrong there, wouldn't it? What about a leper in Jesus' day? Oh yeah, you didn't have supper at their house. You didn't get close to them. In fact, lepers were required before you got close to them, you know. Gentle, kind of like the things on television, the horror movies today. Unclean, don't get close to me. Because they're afraid they would catch it. So that means somewhere along the line, Jesus probably healed Simon. All right. So they're having it at Simon's house. Even though they're at Simon's house, Martha is serving, and Lazarus is there sitting at the table. Let's see. As he sat at the table, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard in an alabaster flask. She broke the flask and poured it on Jesus' head. Everybody's looking down going, huh? John didn't say nothing about his head. John said his feet. And that she wiped the excess with her hair. So which one's right? Both are. That's right. Both of them. John is just giving you one perspective. And by the way, it's an important perspective. Do you remember a story about Mary? Sort of back long before this. And they're seeing Jesus. When Jesus enters in, it says, now come to pass as they went into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Mary was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Sweet Martha. Don't you love her? My wife's got a book, Being a Mary in a Martha's World or Being a Martha in a Mary's World. Which one is it? See, she doesn't know. There you go, Being a Mary in a Martha's World. Now, you understand Martha probably has the gift of helps, okay? She's serving. That's how she does it, man. She serves. That's how she worships God. She serves. So she's serving her sisters in the living room, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to the teaching while Martha's in there working. Doesn't that irk you? Where's everybody else? We had dinner on the grounds. Nobody around to help clean up.
Oh, yes, there was.
All of them are rascals. Sometimes we call it the gift of bitterness. Martha had the gift of bitterness. She's seeing Mary do this. Well, how did Jesus respond to all of this? Well, yeah. Let me get to it. I got it here. There we go. And Jesus answered, said to Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Martha was a worrier, undoubtedly. She's worrying about this, and I bet she was a perfectionist. Everything in the house had to be just right. With Jesus coming, she wanted everything to be right. She wanted the meal to be hot. She wanted it to be on time. She wanted help. She might have. I don't know. You'll have to ask her when you get to glory, brother. That's a good question. Ask her when you get there. Jesus goes on to say, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. Guys, get a picture of Mary. Every chance she got, she wasn't serving. She wasn't out doing it. She was sitting at Jesus' feet listening. She was taking it all in. She wasn't going to be an apostle. She wasn't going to be a founder of a church somewhere or do something supernatural that some of these other guys might do. She was just there listening to Jesus and taking it all in. We find her in the Gospel of John. Where's she at again? At the feet of Jesus. So guys, the reason I believe she knew and the rest of them didn't is she spent her time. By the way, it's interesting we talk about portion. Portion comes kind of from the Old Testament, and it was those things that would happen to the children of Israel when they went into the Promised Land. Remember, Joshua said, this family would get this portion, this family would get this portion, this family would get this portion, and then they had to go in and be obedient to God and take it. Remember Caleb, 80 years old? Give me the toughest portion, the one with the giants. I want the big ones. Bring them on. Well, there was one group that didn't get anything. The Levites. They didn't receive a portion of land. See, the Bible said their portion was they get to serve God close up. They got to be right there where all the worship's taking place, where all the presence of God is taking place. You know, setting up, tearing down, being right there where all of it was. That was their portion. Yeah, or they'd get hungry. Yes, they got a portion. Everything about the service of God was their portion, which was a good thing. Think about it. Would you like to have land or a personal relationship with the Lord? Now, some of us might say land. But listen, Mary saw Jesus. She saw in Him something different than the religious leaders of her day, and she wanted to sit at His feet and listen, and she did. She took it all in. She took it all in. Now, did she understand everything? No. If you remember, she went to the garden and she thought because the body wasn't there, somebody stole it. Remember? She understood the death of Christ, but she didn't understand the rest of it. She didn't get all about the resurrection. Well, that's okay. The disciples didn't get any of it, okay? So she's a lot better off than the disciples there. But I got some G's for you to pick up in a short time. I know our time's gotten up. She gave it. She got it, she gained it, she glorified it, she grabbed it, and she gleaned it. Gee whiz. All the G words. Well, we're going to look at them really fast. She gave the greatest gift, the most costly gift that she could give to the Lord. That day when she showed up and she got down that oil, and by the way, she broke the bottle. She wasn't real careful taking off the lid so she could save that lid later on and use it for something else. She broke it open, the Bible says. So it was no longer any good for anything. So when she used it up, she used it up, all right? She gave it to the Lord and she meant it to be for the Lord. And undoubtedly, she had gotten it was for Jesus' burial. Now, somebody's going to say, Brother Terry, how can that be for Jesus' burial? There's another week. Well, you're right, but it is symbolic. You see, in Jesus' day, they didn't embalm bodies. They put you in a grave and covered you with perfumes and oils to cover up the stink. In fact, don't you remember? Undoubtedly, Lazarus, there wasn't any left, so when Lazarus died, he was just in trouble, remember? Because Jesus said, come, you know, roll the rock away. Let's call him forward. And his sister said, but Lord, he stinketh. After 4 days being in the hot sun in that tomb and you rolled a rock away, them youth and kids got nothing over that smell. Woo! All right, let's go on and look a little. She gave the very best, the most costly that she could get to the Lord. And the first thing you notice, the first thing was the disciples said, what a waste! They did not get it, what she was doing. But not only did she gave it, she got it. She understood. She'd been at the feet of Jesus. She'd been listening to Him teach. She got it. He had told them over and over again, I'm going to die. Now what she had probably saved for herself, she decided, I'm going to use it for Jesus instead. How did she gain it? Of course, she gained it at the feet of Jesus. That's how she learned it. She was listening. She wasn't like her sister. Now, her sister wasn't wrong in serving, okay? If you've got the gift of servitude, don't worry about it. It's okay. But understand, not everything is to be done for Jesus in service. Sometimes Jesus just wants you. He just wants you to be close to Him. Yes, we need people to watch the nursery. Yes, we need people to teach Sunday school. Yes, we need a choir director. Yes, we need a preacher. But we need people just to sit and listen to the Lord. Of all the things that Jesus said was very good, what did he choose? It wasn't in the wonderful food that was prepared or the hands that prepared it. It was in that young girl sitting at his feet. And he said, Martha, you worry so much about everything, and your sister has chosen the very best. And that is, she's just sitting and listening. She glorified it. What? What'd she glorify? You notice a while ago when it said she poured that perfume all over his head, it probably went all over his body, all over his feet. She kind of wiped it off with her hair, and then the next step it says the whole house was filled with it. What drew their attention to her? You don't think it was because they saw her coming in and do this. That didn't catch their attention. I don't believe it. I believe they were eating. Guys, do you let anything bother you when you're eating? I don't. You can drop an atom bomb in the backyard. That's okay. Well, let me finish this bite. We'll get to it afterwards. But something got their attention. Now, if we were to open up a pound of nard oil right here, it would perfume the whole place, okay? It would. It wouldn't be long to somebody in the back would go, what did you open? You ever had that happen at the house? Maybe you opened up the bleach or you opened up the pine saw, and then somebody at the other end of the house said, who did that? Because the smell goes from one end to the other. The smell went all through the house. It got their attention. I believe that's what drew their attention. Then they noticed what she was doing. So she glorified. Guys, how much do we stink up the world? Can people see our lives and what we're doing? Can they see the love of Christ in our lives? Are we making a dent? For the most part, we're not. We're not stinking up the world with perfume. You know, the Scripture talks a little bit about that. Let me read a passage. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the ones that we're a savor of death to death, that's the lost, and to the other a savor of life to life. You see, to the world that won't see the truth, and they're already dead spiritually, will continue to be dead that way. But to those who begin to see there's something different, and they grasp the truth of who Jesus is, and they trust Christ, it becomes a sweet smell of life. Guys, are we stinking up the community? Do the community know that we're here? Do they know that we're alive? Do they know that we stand for Christ and for eternal life? Do they know that? I don't believe we're stinking it up enough. This is one time that it's okay to stink it up. All right? You ever had mom come into your room and say, it stinks in here? Boy, what have you been doing? You didn't bring them shoes in the house, did you? Then she opens up the windows and opens up the door and gets the can of Lysol out. Yeah, boy, they got some really good Lysol now. Have you seen that on television? The germs run. It's so good. What? Yeah. Yeah, they get out of the couch when they see it coming. Man, it's got the extra spray on it now. Woo! Guys, she gleaned it. What? What is gleaning? Farmers? What's gleaning something? You're going and picking it. Is how we would call it. I'm picking the fruit, or I'm picking the vegetables today, or I'm cutting the vegetables. She gleaned it. She went to the field and cut it. Guys, she did not set out for this to be a memorial that everybody would hear about. I don't believe that's the heart of Mary. She was doing her love to the Lord by giving the very best that she had. And because of that, she gleaned, because the Lord said, every time this gospel's mentioned, they'll remember you and what you did. You notice he didn't say, hey guys, you've been in here for 3.5 years, you've been studying and giving it all to learn all this, they're going to remember. No, to little old Mary. He said, Mary, it's going to be you. They're going to remember. By the way, you know, the person that probably started all this was Judas Iscariot. And if you notice what John said, the only reason he was upset that they spent so much money on this and put it on Jesus was he had his hand in the till. And if they went and sold it for 300, he could get his portion out of it. Sort of sounds like some of them television preachers, don't it? Air-conditioned doghouse. Guys, how big a stink are we making? Like I said, she wasn't doing it for the glory. She wasn't doing it to be memorialized. She wasn't doing it so she would show up the other disciples. She was doing it because she loved the Lord. She understood at least about the death, and she was prepared to give the very best that she had. She didn't ask the Lord if it was all right. She didn't ask her sister if it was all right. She gave it. Poured it out on him. Perfumed him for his death and burial that was coming up. And it stunk up the whole place. Everyone in that room knew what she did. Guys, are we stinking it up? Is the world seeing what we're doing for the Lord? Now, I could say that next Sunday we want you to empty out your bank account and fill up the... But that wouldn't prove anything. It wasn't a challenge. It wasn't to see who'd come in first with the best love. She had sat at his feet. She had heard him. She had listened. And I believe she trusted him, believed in him. And she gave the very best that she had. Like I said, she wasn't doing it for anything other than to show the Lord how much she loved him. Guys, if we'll just love the Lord, love on him, learn from him, share him with others, and be what he wants us to be, I guarantee you we're going to stink up the place. Not all of them going to like you, because you remember what Paul said. Sometimes those who don't receive Christ, it won't be a pleasant smell. It'll be a smell of death. I can't think of anything that stinks any worse than an old animal that's died and somebody stirred it up. Have you ever had that happen underneath your house? Or in the wall? Now, for you that don't live in old houses, you don't know what I'm talking about. But in my house, you can hear the mice and rats sometimes get up underneath the house and scratch through the wall. Oh, that's fun sleeping when they're scratching. Yes, sir. Oh, man, I missed that one, brother. I'm sorry. But to those who see the truth, it's a smell of life. And that's what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to be life sharers. He wants us to smell up the world in a good way. Guys, you know, many times the sacrifices in the Old Testament, the meat sacrifices that were burnt, the incense, the Bible said was a sweet smell unto the Lord. That's what God asked for us, to give ourselves to Him. That brings a sweet smell to Him. And I guarantee you, He'll make that perfume get out all over the place if we'll just do that. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for a young lady who got it in her heart to do something so very special to the Lord. And I have an idea that Martha and Mary did not come from a rich family. Maybe she inherited it. Maybe your parents left it to her. Maybe an aunt somewhere had it for her. Maybe she saved it all herself. All of her money and bought this. And Lord, she may have bought it for herself to begin with. In fact, I have a sneaking idea that's why she had it for her own burial someday. She was prepared. But something in her heart caught the truth. And she wanted to do something for you, Lord. Not so people would recognize it, not so that she'd get credit for it. But Father, she did the most precious thing that she could do as she poured out that precious oil that was so costly, knowing that it was a one-time thing. She wouldn't be able to gather it back and use it again. It was going to be used up. In fact, she knew it so well that she broke the alabaster container and poured it out. And she did it in love. Father, may we have that same kind of love for you that Mary showed, that same kind of faith that she showed, that same kind of love and devotion where she just sat at your feet. She listened. She soaked it all in. And Lord, it wasn't useless. It became a part of her life as she applied it to her life. Father, may we show that same kind of love for you. Oh, this story doesn't mean that you don't help the helpless. It doesn't mean you don't help those who need food and things like that. Lord, we know that that's not what it's coming about teaching. But what it's teaching is Mary chose to worship you, prepare you for what you were about to prepare and do for us. Father, may we show that same kind of love and devotion to you. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's never trusted you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day, Lord, they would make that decision. They don't know you personally. Father, I just pray that you would just touch their hearts and lives and draw them to you this morning. Lord, may they smell life. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.